Big time count. What B movie will be the ultimate champion? You might think they're crazy, might think they're diseases. But they watch all the shots to find the best of the beast. It's Stan, Jim, Jack, and Nick who watch till it's finished. But their love for these movies can be diminished. And maybe the film's plot has no rhyme or reason. But that's part of the charm, Owen Brad's of the season. The low budget film that it is most true. They find in the flick that's most boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boom, boom, Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boom, boom, Electric Boogaloo.
Yuck Mala, Yuck Mala. Welcome back, my friends, to another episode of the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. I am your host, Jim Ikban Stanadu, and I am so happy to be with you today because we're going to talk some crazy, crazy movies. And I am joined by my Boogaloo sorcerer friends. I am joined by Jack Pearl.
Yeah, crazy. Will this qualify? I don't.
I feel like it might.
It might qualify.
Sneak this under the wire.
Yeah, I don't want to foreshadow scoring, but crazy concept is one of the categories.
All right. Well, everybody can hear Jim Cotta.
Bibbidi boppity boo. I am thrilled to be back here for another season.
That's
and apparently
right.
Just watching Disney Plus. Unless they're sponsoring, I'm not.
And then we have Nick Boxer.
Greetings and salutations. I think you're overselling the "you're glad to be here" thing there, Stan.
Nope, I am totally glad to be here because
I want to talk about this film a lot because there's a lot to unpack.
I know, but
I've never known you to be a happy.
What?
That's a good point.
I'm always happy, especially when we're firing up a brand new season like this one. Season 10. We've reached double digits, fellas. It's fantastic. And the question is, do you believe in magic? And I do, because I've seen it. And this episode, we're going to see some magic because we got Ninja the Violent Sorcerer. And the best part about Ninja the Violent Sorcerer is the fact that Nick has to explain it.
Yeah, no, I was thinking to myself, like, this is all about, you don't want to know what the best magic trick would be is if somebody could explain this movie to me and have it make sense. That would take a magic trick.
I don't think Nick can do that, but I look forward to hearing him try.
I've watched this film 3 times today. I'm pretty sure I'm going to fail on this attempt. This movie takes place in the Chinese subcategory of films that commonly is referred to as a gambling film. So the rules are a little different. Gambling is some sort of skill. Now, the bad guy of this film, we'll call him the Gambling King, Mr. Barker, is challenged by the Gambling Master. The Gambling Master is cheated because the gambling... Mr. Barker is using vampires, and these are the Chinese hopping vampires, to enhance his gambling skill in some way.
Not to be confused with the American shambling ones.
Yeah. That is an actual thing. There's a Japanese lore, actually, I believe. Japanese lore is that there's hopping vampires or zombies, which is what this film
also
has.
Also some kind called sheriffs, but...
Yeah. Oh, in Japanese, I can't remember what they're called because I cannot pronounce it. I'm not going to bother butchering it.
In the mythology, they hop because their feet are tied, although I did look, and none of these vampire's feet are tied, so that makes no sense anyway whatsoever.
That would have affected their... That would have been tied at one point.
But I don't want to get off track here because I'm on a roll.
There you go.
No, I'm just saying that would have affected the first
5 minutes of this movie.
I thought you were done. I'm sorry.
No. Now that the gambling master is cheated, and of course the stakes are his life because, you know, that is the first bet everybody makes in every gambling thing. I don't know. So he has to go off and kill himself or something. His son, Leslie, swears revenge and figures out that there may be magic involved. Oh, his dead sister, Rose, tips him off that the vampires are behind this mysterious Mr. Barker's skill. So, of course, he goes and gets Roger, a ninja, to help him train to get revenge.
Wasn't Roger related to
I have no idea. I had a trouble telling the difference between the actors that played Leslie and Roger for the entire movie. I was very confused.
My biggest problem is that I giggle every time it said Leslie. It was just like the toughest gangster name possible for whoever was dubbing this, Leslie.
So Roger and Leslie train to defeat the vampires, and there's several skirmishes involving Mr. Barker's, I think it was some sort of extortion scheme, or maybe he was just collecting debt.
Nobody will ever know. No,
it's fine. It's
but
totally
don't anyway, get bogged down.
Roger and Leslie have several chances to go up against the vampires, and they get their asses kicked on a regular basis. They finally sort of go, oh no, what? And we can't figure this out. So they finally find a master to, you know, train them up even more, and still they can't defeat these damn vampires because vampires are really good at kung fu.
Yeah, you guys feeling like you're not learning less about the movie as they
yeah, I think I understand way less than when I started. Yeah.
12.
So then their master finally says, you know, you're never going to beat these vampires as long as they're attached to...
Oh, this shit. I remember that scene. That was like 13 minutes in. We got like an hour minutes to go.
I think this is the problem with the fact that
unless you
this
defeat
three times.
Mr. Barker. Mr. Barker. So they get drunk Uncle Jack to go beat Mr. Barker. I don't know how he beats the gambling king, but he does it, supposedly. And the gambling king fakes his own suicide. And, you know, I got really confused after that.
Oh, that's when you got confused.
Oh, this movie makes no sense whatsoever. Well, now, you may make fun of my summary, but I doubt anyone could explain what the hell happened in this movie better than I did.
No,
Are you kidding me? Nobody has ever shot at explaining anything. Because this is just a collection of scenes, literally. Yeah. So, like, how do you put together that? Like, that is what Godfrey Ho, the Ed Wood of Hong Kong cinema, is known for. is a product. He produced directed, he's credited as 80 films between 1980 and the year 1990, and the way he did that was to take a film that existed and then either take another film or just shoot a bunch of scenes and then go and find a film afterwards that he thought he could use to fill in the plot holes and then overdub everything.
Well, didn't he play two roles in this?
I think he played the gambling master and
Jack.
No, he didn't. Absolutely.
There were two guys with mustaches.
Yeah, Godfrey Ho doesn't have a mustache.
Okay.
I know exactly what you mean. There was the what I like to call the jean jacket sorcerer, and jean jacket sorcerer. Because this is how the movie opens, literally. Okay, the vampire sorcerer is doing some vampire stuff, and he starts some vampires. So these vampires stand up, and he controls them by gluing some paper with writing to their forehead.
Yep.
Before they can hop. Then it cuts to some other scene with like the gambling guys. Then there's a scene with a guy in a jean jacket performing some sorcery, some tricks, some magic.
Like you do.
And then he shows up like two more times. And then there's another sorcerer in this yellow and black robe. And then at the end of the movie, because I thought that yellow sorcerer in the yellow and black robe was the best friend, Ken. But then at the back of the movie, I think that was actually because they're fighting him. And so I think that's actually the jean jacket sorcerer. Or not. I don't know. God,
we haven't gotten into the dice yet.
Oh, Christ. Well, so the movie that he shot the vampire stuff, the movie he took to fill in the rest of the plot after he shot the vampire stuff is called The Stunning Gambling. So you know that's got to be genius as well. The Stunning Gambling.
And by gambling, I think you need to unpack what they mean by gambling is essentially close-up magic, but very, very serious.
Yeah, it's card magic, basically. It's just like
cards and dice, yeah.
So after the after Jean Jacket sorcerer casts a spell, then you get the gamblers again, and that guy, like you're saying, he challenges Barker, and they're like, hey, who are you? So this Barker guy, who's the villain, explains to everybody who he is, which is great because the rest of the movie, people who weren't in this scene that were friends with the guy he explained to keep on saying who it is, and everybody goes, not him again. So it's this movie is amazing. And so they sit there and they agree to this challenge. Then and they say, we will gamble next week. Then there's a scene that lasts about 37 seconds of the vampire sorcerer casting another spell. Then they're gambling. So it's a week later. it's so amazing. Oh, I love this.
Time definitely does move in this film, oddly.
Yes.
Because I'm pretty sure there's some like flashback sequences that I didn't realize were flashback sequences until they were over.
Well, once the gambler, because he has honor, is beaten by Barker with his cheating dice, even though it's also implied he's cheating and using magic.
That was a really confusing part where it's just like
was a confusing part.
Well, I'm just layering on top of the confusing because yes, because when we start, you know, it's just like okay, bad guy definitely using vampires, but there's vampires apparently for the good guys
there's something, who knows, for the there was something, right? And there's some other magic. Everybody has magic for their gambling. You can't even explain these gambling things. Like there's a one point where people show up and it's apparently gambling, so one guy throws dice in the airs and he cuts them in half. And everyone's like, well, that's not that great. The other people are like, that's not the great trick. So she picks up some dice and throws them on a wall, and they stick to the wall. And then they go, she won. I'm like, what the fuck was the game? What game is
it? At one point, I said, you know, I thought up till now that the card game into Casino Royale made no sense. But this is beyond.
Oh, when the first two are doing the gambling thing, is the scene, it shows him with his hand, and it is the slowest, most dramatic reveal of one card to the other with music. And then one guy says, you're brave. I like that. Another guy responds with, you have a lot of confidence for a person who's about to die. I'm like, what is going on? It's like the second line of dialogue in the whole movie. It's amazing. Did we mention the hopping vampire? You have to see to believe this shit. You have to see it.
I think you know, if the listeners want to know what a game night is like when the four of us get together,
yeah.
this watch the first 15 minutes of this movie. This is basically what it looks like.
Yeah, totally. With slightly less hopping, just slightly,
and a little more magic.
Yeah. Slightly more close-up magic.
Oh my god, this thing. So then, you'll excuse me. So then the guy goes and kills himself. Then his son shows up and he's like, you know, before he kills him, he's like, no, please don't kill yourself. His son's like 45. And I don't know, he's like, I don't want to be an orphan. I'm like, come on, dude. Like, I don't know, he's probably like in his mid-20s, whatever. So he's like, and then he disappears for like a good half hour. until he shows up to recruit the gambler that's going to take on the other gambler while they're trying to beat. And then let's not forget the scene where the wife or the mother of that kid who shows up and the wife of the guy who kills himself shows up as a ghost for like no reason, no explanation, never shows up again, like in two scenes out of nowhere. I don't know, man.
Is that Rose you're talking about?
No, it's a different one. Rose was alive still, I think. I don't know.
I thought she was dead because she was painted all white and I believe she was floating. She was dead. But yes, tell?
She's dead.
Maybe it's the other one. I don't know.
Fair enough. Yeah. Well, we got about the second card game takes about 3.5 days to watch. and then our last 15 minutes of just solid hopping ninja action.
Oh yeah, it's
just amazing. That's
there is some lots of hopping because the ninjas are consistently fighting the vampire hopping vampire bunny vampires. Oh, I call them bunny vampires. That really seems more accurate. hip-hop vampire, whatever. So they're fighting them. But consistently getting their ass kicked. Because I remember the one guy, the brother, says he was like the hero, sort of, but he's not the hero because the hero's the gambler. I don't know. So, but the ninja in white, because he's stealthy, so he's dressed in bright white. Well, you know, out there in the daytime, nighttime, white's what's going to work. And he's sitting there. And he says to the sister ghost or whatever something about the only way to beat vampires is by magic, and then he learns no magic, but
he tries.
He does. I think the other guy tries.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Right. Yeah.
Just about showing up.
Yeah. Yeah. Because yes, there's the nerdy ninja, and then there's the brother.
The nerdy ninja like blow something up at some point too.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he almost gets taken over by an unspecified.
There's the mentor.
Yeah, and the mentor. Yes, yes.
Yeah. He told him that if you try this before you know how to do it, you could die. So he tries it before he knows how to do it. Going fuck it.
But then you know, thankfully at the end, the mentor shows up and just does it all anyways because obviously our nerdy ninja didn't get there in time. You know, didn't learn in time. So I'm sure glad that they wasted all that time trying to learn.
I'm sure the listeners at this point are thinking, you guys are giving away all the WTFs that you're going to use later on. Don't worry.
No. I like the ninja skills that you don't normally see on a film. Like sometimes you get you get your modern day ninja who just like uses a sword. I like the mystical era of ninjas like around here in the 80s, like ninja safe cracking skills. You don't get those anymore. Disappearing ninjas.
Yeah,
that is a classic ninja thing that has just no pun intended vanished from ninja films.
It's almost like in this, of course, I have to say, in this movie, part of the time, because the ninja clearly had the power to vanish and show up like across the room or across the lake or whatever, whenever he wanted.
And that required no training.
Yeah, that required, of course, half the time later on, I started wondering to myself, did he just disappear as a magic trick or is it shitty editing? I couldn't tell.
That is a ninja skill. That is a classic ninja skill, the ability to just vanish into thin air.
Yeah.
I know. I read a ninja magazine when I was about 12, and it explained it all in there.
Oh, you're good then. In that era,
I like the smoke bombs.
They didn't bother with that. They just disappear. No.
Just disappear. Yeah.
Yeah.
This movie could have used a couple smoke bombs.
Do you think they could have afforded the smoke bombs? That's really.
Oh, well, this, like I say, the Godfrey Ho did this because that way he could get for the price of, then he would take another film and like he could make two or three films out of one budget. That was his goal. And not a big budget at all, either, you should mention. How about the classic ninja skill? I'm just wondering if the shooting stars that cause explosions, is that, or the shuriken there, is that a...
Oh. I would have liked if the shurikens actually hit something other, because they use them to, like, you know, hit hands so people drop guns. But nobody gets a shuriken in the forehead for this entire film.
Oh, and that's a good point.
That is one of my favorite ninja things.
It was the whole, I thought it was the whole purpose of the shuriken. I thought it was the you just aim for the forehead, yeah.
You know, I actually had a theory at first that he filmed a normal film that was 90 minutes. And then because they sped up the fighting scenes so much, that he came in short and had to fill it out with the other stuff at first. Because those fight scenes are like, that is not good martial arts. And they just speed it up a lot.
Nice.
It's absolutely one of those questions. Like, when you watch this, there's no doubt that you stare at it and you're like, so what movie is this from? Because it does feel like he just edited five of them together.
Oh, he could have. I mean, we know we got the stunning gambling, which he found, and we know he shot some stuff, but I'm sure there's other stuff. There's just grabbing things. Like, there's the whole scene, the scene where in the bar fight scene, there's no way that came from either one of these two things.
I have to give him credit. The film stocks match on a lot of this shit compared to other films we've seen. So that shows some amount of effort.
Yeah, keep that in mind when we get to more Heart than Budget, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's a high standard. I mean, it's important to don't compromise your artistic vision.
Well, if we want to get out of here while 2019 is still happening, we better get to that scoring, don't you guys think?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about the movie.
About time.
I could continue to chronologically break this down because it's amazing, but
and readily available on YouTube if you. And I'm sure that I don't think the copyright's being heavily heavily monitored. If you are new to the show, welcome. And each season we rate, in our search for the ultimate B-movie, we rate each film in five categories, none of which are objective quality. The first category we call schlock appeal, and as always, we start with Stan.
It's a magical movie. I can safely say that. And it's because it, I don't know what's going on at any given moment, but it feels like there's different chunks where it's like the first 10 minutes is like vampire craziness. Then you have random gambling magic craziness. And then by the end, you've got 10, 15 minutes of kung fu craziness. So it really just tries to be just did a little different 10 minute movies throughout. So that's pretty boogaloo. I'm going to have to go with a 9 on this one.
I'm going with an 8. I will criticize your critique because you used the word craziness 4 times. Get a thesaurus.
Oh my! Just went through the roof.
8 for the film and only a 4 for you, Stan.
Oh no. I'll never survive.
No, I mean, this has both ninja and sorcerer in the title, man. It deserves an 8 for schlock appeal. I just wish I could find a poster for it online because I know it would be dynamite.
To have in your room, you mean, or something?
Yep.
No, because there's like 4 or 5 different ones. Well, I mean, different box art or whatever that was out there. I don't know if you could order any of them, but so they're all, pretty amazing. This film is absolutely, this is exactly what we talk about. When you're watching a film and you know to yourself, oh my God, this is a horrible film and you're loving it. That's schlock appeal. And you know, this is a terrible movie, not for everybody, but for me, this is genius. I got to also give it a 9.
All right. Off to a running racing start here, right off. I'm going to give it an 8 for this. I do agree. You got the word ninja and sorcerer and violent, which isn't a word that's used in very many movie titles, I'll be honest.
Oh, for sure.
I talk about thesaurus. I mean, violent sorcerer. more heart than budget.
Well, I guess we don't really have a budget per se. I mean, we know it's small.
It's impossible to get a budget for this.
Yeah, yeah, of course, this kind of thing. Because the budget could be split between five movies. So,
Yeah, you prorate this over a bunch of films. It really brings your budget down.
Yeah. I don't know, because it's really hard to say what could go into it. Like, everybody, I guess, was into it. I can't say it told a story. So, I mean, it was a movie, and seven.
All right.
I like that you didn't use any crazies in your critique there.
Nine on that critique.
That'll help, yeah.
I'm assuming the budget for this is 2 quatloos, so I'm going to use that as a base. I think I'm going to give it a 5, just because Jeffrey Ho, I mean, he made a ton of freaking movies, and several of them are watchable. this was fun. If I'd saw it in like a theater in 1987 or whenever the hell it was made, I would have been pissed off, but I would have been entertained. Yeah, so 5. I can't go any higher than that.
I understand why you can't, but I can. I'm going to give it an 8. I think it's one of those films. Okay, like, how can you judge? Like, is the part that he took from somebody else have more heart than the part that he filmed himself? Like, this is so hard to judge. All I look at it is I go, I think everybody outside of, I mean, Godfrey Ho is just whatever he has to do to make a movie. I think everybody else is doing their best. And I honestly think that the dialogue and stuff they put in and the storylines, and that he's trying to give us some emotional context. He's trying to give us some drama. And he's trying to give us some plot. He's trying. He's just, as I say, if he's the Ed Wood of Hong Kong cinema, as his reputation is, as he's referenced, I think we all would give Ed Wood movies a high score in heart compared to budget. So if he's that, it's not that I think he doesn't try. It's just that he's horrible at his profession. So I will give it that 8.
All right. I really wish that he hadn't spent all his money on, lost all his money on dice games. be able to put a bit more on the screen. But I'm going to go up to a 7, because I think partly because of Jack's impassioned pitch for this. Our next category, and forward your mail. tell your tell your kids you'll see them after college. It is what the fuck moments.
There's a few, you know, again, like just mark down, just mark down some things. Of course, the vampires being calmed down by paper and being controlled by paper, I never know, never seen that before. So maybe that's not what the fuck. There's this moment in that early scene where it's like, so to get the dice to win, of course, you have to control the vampires, because the vampires are part of a gambling gang, and so then they were able to pull a couple of dice out of the vampires' mouths after they controlled them.
Yes, one from the north and one from the south. That's important.
Yeah, so that I just seemed a little odd. One of the real what the fuck moments for me was like, there's this point where the gambling king, Baker, Barker, Parker, whatever his name is, and he was sitting there, and he was rolling around a bunch of clay in his hand, and it was red clay, and it was turning his hand red, and I was sitting there thinking, okay, so why is he playing with this clay that's turning his hand red? It must factor into the story somehow. No, it did not. So there was none of that. There was a point where they were talking, and this speaks to Godfrey Ho's filmmaking credentials, in that they were talking, and it was just like, oh, we need to wait 10 minutes, and then 10 seconds later, that 10 minutes has passed, and yet there was no cuts, there was no nothing. It was just like, bam, 10 minutes is 10 minutes later has magically passed, and that was impressive. And then one of the last things that I noticed was, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but it struck me that they added a score to the movie just after the 1 hour mark.
Oh, wow, I never noticed that. That's so awesome.
Like, I didn't notice any music, and then suddenly, after the 1 hour mark, I heard some music, and it only is there for, like, 5 to 10 minutes, and I'm kind of like, interesting. I forgot music existed, but, so... It's just a small sampling, but there's some weird stuff there. So I feel very confident giving this an 8.
Oh yeah, I know what you're saying there. For me,
yeah, it was English, so you should.
Yeah. Well, you don't always use words in the correct order, so and or overuse sometimes. Craziness.
Didn't say craziness at all there. In fact,
yeah. No, for me, it was definitely the gambling, because I actually enjoy watching films about gambling. I think it was Jim that mentioned, earlier Casino Royale with the Texas Hold'em game that didn't really follow all the rules of Texas Hold'em. But as long I can enjoy that, as long as I can sort of get into the mentality of the game and pretend I'm smart enough or as smart as the hero in the scene to, get into the gambling.
Oh, you were.
There's no pretense in this film for the amount of time we spend gambling. These games make no sense whatsoever. None. There are no rules. They might just be, all of a sudden, a jack beats a nine and no explanation, or a nine beats a jack and there's no explanation.
When you said a jack beats a nine, I thought you were talking about when I masturbate.
Yeah, whatever. all of a sudden we're allowed to slam dice into the table and have them embedded. They're throwing dice against the wall. And it has just enough logic, like when they slam them in the wall. Yeah. Okay. You got 5 sixes stuck to the wall and 1-1. That obviously wins. Like, what the hell?
One more six, it would have been Yahtzee.
I'd like to point out that also for the guy who's like, it's this gambling game, that they have teams, though, that can gamble for them, apparently, or something. Because these tricks aren't being played by the two people who are gambling, and yet they're responsible for the gambling, right? So it's just, what the hell's going on?
And then we have one game that seems to be how fast you can deal, but both players deal, like, different types of hands to people. I have no idea. And it's timed, like...
Well, the timed game was impressive.
If they'd only established the rules before we started, I could have like, got my jollies there, but no.
They
explanation.
They didn't establish the rules to the entire movie in this movie.
This is what's important to push out, is that's the part, all the stuff that you're referencing that is WTF is from Stunning Gambling, the better of the two movies. The more... That shows you what we're dealing with.
And I actually enjoyed the hopping vampires. I could have done without the hopping, the sorcerer with the mustache. Or was he a vampire as well? Because he looked dead.
No, I don't. There was, I think, two evil vampires by the end. Like I say, one was a vampire and one wasn't. I don't know. What about the scene where Ken shows up, actually hops.
The guys controlling the vampires, I could have done without. So, I'll throw a number on this. 7.
What the hell? Throw a number on this. Only 7. Oh, my God. James over there, I'm wondering, before I go off here for, I don't know, however long this is going to take. And by the way, I think if you use crazy when talking about this movie in WTFs, I think that's allowed. Not for the other four categories, but here you can say it as much as possible and it fits. How much you got there on your notes? I don't want to take them all.
Can I just say the only one I'm going to use is in the card game when the stakes get really high, our hero is given a bottle of Chivas Regal, and his wife's like, oh my god, he can't drink because if he drinks he's off the wagon, bad things are going to happen, and everyone agrees that it's best for everyone if he drinks. And then, you know, he can really.
Was that mentioned anywhere else in the film? I was confused at that point.
God, no. I don't even know if that guy appears in a previous scene.
No, that was his wife. I thought that was the woman who won the gambling in the previous scene, who exploded things on a movie set as a job. Yes, I'm not making any of that up, folks. That's
all in there. Yeah. I will accept literally anything that you suggest happened in this film.
Twice.
I've given it a 9, then we'll go back to Jack. You do your thing.
Okay, so I'm giving it a 10. Here we go. I like that the kid is sitting there, and then when he finally shows back up, and they're like, you got to go find this other, this is the only gambler who could beat them. He's an old friend of your dad's. Here's who he is, and here's where you can go to find him. Then he shows up, and that guy's drunk, like they say, because at that time he's drunk, and he's yelling at the guy, you're letting my dad down, and he's giving all this backstory to the character that he knows, and I'm like, you were just told about him 10 minutes ago for the first time in your life, apparently. There's the scene. This is, I mean, oh my God, I don't even know where to go with so many of these. There's a scene where for some reason, the vampires are also beating up businessmen. We don't know why. They just scenes where they're beating up businessmen and whatever. And you know, they fight these vampires. And by the way, I like how the vampires, they have swords. And they take these swords, clearly rubber swords, but nevertheless, they take these swords and they slash them down. And the vampires block them with their hands. And for some reason, because they're vampires, it makes a clanging metal sound every time.
Oh, yeah, I did have that one down.
Yeah.
Then it makes this it's like the sound effect you would use for like a sword fight in an old, like, medieval knight kind of movie.
Exactly.
The clang, clang.
So there's a scene where this businessman drives up in this car. Then he drives off the road to where there's like kind of some dirt, and he takes out this briefcase, and he looks around and he puts it on the ground. This is about 15 feet from the road. Now, down about another 15 feet is a whole bunch of trees, but he takes this briefcase, lays it right down there about 15 feet from the road, drives off. Then three guys pop up. They drive over to it. They stop. They look at it. They get out, all three of them. They open it up and look at it. You can see there's a whole bunch of cash. Then they close it back up, get in the van. The ninja, then the white ninja dude we're talking about, then shows up, grabs the bumper. He's dragged on for about 1 second, showing him dragging. Very next shot is the van as it continues in motion, pulling away, going onto the road, and he's gone. I don't know if that's shitty editing or disappearing in magic.
I assumed he disappeared.
It's shitty editing. the guys show up, and there's the Barker guy, and they have the briefcase for them, and he says, "Were you followed?" And they say, don't worry, we were careful. And I'm like, that is literally the exact opposite of what you were. You showed up with briefcases on the side of the road. You looked at it right there in front of everybody. You drove off. Nothing. I'm like, this is just amazing. And then the ninja all of a sudden is on top of the van or whatever and attacks them. And then there's a scene where Barker goes and grabs a little kid. And threatens him to cut his neck or something like that while he's fighting these guys. It's unbelievable. It's so great. there's this scene later where, by the way, all these people like Barker and Weber, who's the gambler guy, these are the most white last names for Asian actors I've ever seen in my life. There's a scene where Barker, like we say, he Nick, you gave this in when you did the synopsis about 4 days ago. Barker kills himself, but he fakes it. So they lift him up and they carry him out in this dramatic moment, his dead body. Everybody's thinking it. And the next scene is him with this woman that's like, you know, his assistant or whatever, in the car, the dead body with his head on his head, the dead body's apparent head on the lap. And he looks down and all of a sudden he just pops up and she's like, what? And he goes, ha ha, I was faking. That's the whole thing. I'm like, number one, that you were just faking. Nobody thought, well, we should check his pulse. number two, that anybody would take a dead body and put it in the car and put the head of dead person on their lap casually while they're driving around town. Just amazing. But
she loved him. You could tell.
But the best one of all of them is after all the gambling's done, there's a fight with the ninjas and the sorcerer or something like that. I don't know. It's so hard. It's so dark. You can barely see anything. Goes on forever. Finally, everybody dies. Like the magic or something like that is used. And there's a little bit of magic and martial arts and like vampires are dead. And I think one guy explodes. Another guy just falls on the ground. And then the final sorcerer, the one in yellow and black, who ends up being the final one, gets his throat cut. And so the two guys, it's Ken and who was the other guy? I can't remember. Jack, was it? The white ninja dude. Anyways.
Ken and Roger.
So Ken and Roger. So this guy gets his
throat
cut.
They say his name a lot in this film. That's the only name I got for sure.
I just know he's stealthy ninja because of the white. So they cut this guy at the evil sorcerer's neck. They turn around, take two steps, and Ken goes, we won. And then the mentor guy goes, good. And the end. I mean, the fastest the end ever. No credits. No, like by the time he says we won to good is, and then the credits run is about a half a second. There's no breathing. There's no nothing. It just ends out of nowhere. Like nothing I've ever seen before. So did I mention it was a 10?
About a month and a half ago when you started. Yeah. That all said, memorable moments is the next category.
just a little bit.
Dan.
There was gambling and there were hopping vampires. I'm going to remember hopping vampires. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to remember like that. Four.
I am not going to remember hopping vampires in particular this movie because, well, I've seen a bunch of hopping vampire movies. of them better than this particular film.
But more enjoyable?
Yes, some of them were. Not all of them.
Some of them were the same scenes?
Robo Vampire comes to mind. Oh.
Also Godfrey Ho, isn't it?
I believe it is. Nice. I believe it's going to be slotted into another season soon or in the near future. But
I think he has like of his 121 films or something like 70 of them had the word ninja in them.
Yeah.
and who can blame him? I mean, that's a viable word. You know, ninja is a great word to go for this great stuff.
Kickboxers also in like 30 of them. So...
But this movie, I think if it had more of a cohesive anything, I'd remember it a whole lot more. But I think I'm just going to remember it for the random scenes it presented. So I think it's going to fade pretty quick. I'm only going to give it a 3.
You know what? I'm only giving it a 3, too, because the truth is nothing is memorable. Though things are locked into my mind. They're locked in my mind more on the schlock WTF scale, though they are locked in my mind. I mean, I think the thing that most stands out for me is the fact that the gambling scenes, while making no sense, are so well lit and look so good, and the rest of the film isn't. and doesn't. And that to me really stands out. But I did like and also the scene where he cut the dice in half in midair and threw them up. I thought that was cool looking.
I am going to remember the hopping vampires. That's for sure. I was having trouble remembering this movie overall, and Stan and I were joking about trying to remember the title of the film.
Yes.
And I said, I know it has ninja in it, so I'm pretty sure it was Ninja 4, Is This Your Card?
I kept calling it, when I was searching for it, Ninja the Furious Warrior. So getting it confused with my other film at the end of the year.
Nice.
So you'd seen this before?
No. God, okay. No.
That's no, you were saying you were searching for it, so I kind of thought you had some sort of...
I was trying to find the film.
Just a song.
He wanted to watch this movie.
I was trying to find this movie, so I put
but
it
in... But you didn't even have a title, so how would you found out of this movie?
For the podcast, after I picked it, I wanted to watch it. I thought, shit. Maybe
how did you pick
Google
it without...
If we don't watch it, it'll be out there somewhere.
So you just picked it without knowing the title?
No, but I couldn't remember the title is what I'm saying. I got it confused with the other movie. And I'm the one who picked it. That's all I'm saying. That's how memorable the movie is.
Okay. It's a four. crazy concept. I like that we're just like, we took a couple of weeks off and we're just a well-oiled machine. Just right. Yeah. We're going to call this a warm-up episode, folks. crazy concept.
Crash TV episode.
I'm just going to say 10 because there's no point in trying to explain any reasoning why.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I'm going high, not like insanely high like you.
I like to think of it as crazy high.
I'm going to give it a 7. I mean, a vampire gambling film with ninjas called the violent Ninja Sorcerer is kind of awesome.
You owe Jack an apology because you could not remember the title of this film. for how many times we said it in the last 5 minutes, you could not remember the name of the film.
So I just slap a 7 on there and move on.
Oh my God. I got an 8. I mean, I've also seen some hopping vampires before, but I've never seen it done so shitty. So shitty bunny hopping vampires, extreme gambling, ninjas in white, sorcery, disappearing, shitty editing. Yeah, 8 is about right.
I'm going to go up to a 9 on this because I can't make heads or tails of I think all 5 pitches that they put in were tremendous, and the producers said this will make a great anthology film, and you're like I wasn't intending. I'm going to make it a cohesive whole. So 9 is what I'm going for. And each season we have 6 secret modifiers. This season has actually been a challenge already for me trying to decide. So, if any of my co-hosts dispute my use of modifiers, we can discuss that. I did give it a -1 because we had a modifier for the inclusion of things that are not specifically magic; they are supernatural. So the vampires themselves, though. I'm not convinced what kind of vampires these are. There is, however,
there is that scene that I could have put in the WTF where they're sitting there and they have those vampires and they're dead and they lift them up from the coffins and they control them, put the paper. But there's another scene where they say something about, can we train more vampires? So that's a line of dialogue from this.
But it does get a +1 back for having a magical standoff. There is a magical face-off. So those even out, giving a very, very respectable 71.5 out of 100, which is exactly smack on the same as Star Crash.
All right. Strong start of the year.
Very strong. That's higher than everything last season.
I knew that magic was going to be good for us.
Yes. I think that's totally fair. All right. Well, wow, that was something. Like you say, it was kind of like that was kind of like a test episode.
I think this rehearsal went terrific, and
record.
Let's all get back here for showtime.
Yeah, because this season starts with next episode, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, and for Nick, the craziness continues next episode.
I knew you were searching for a way to...
So that we can, next episode we're going to talk about Cast a Deadly Spell, which is most definitely a very different movie from this one, so...
Our first HBO film. Like, yeah. maybe our last.
But, I guess we'll find out next episode, but let's do some business.
All right. Our podcast sponsor is We Talk Podcasts. So WeTalkPodcasts.com is home of The Octagon, which is our ongoing record of our search for the ultimate B-movie. And also We Talk Podcasts has a Facebook and they have a Twitter. For us, you can find us at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo on Instagram. And please subscribe to the show and review it in whatever your favorite podcast app is, or all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, bonus points if you do it in all of them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right. And we'll be timing you.
If you were a real fan, you would do it. You would be doing that.
It's because you know what'll happen if you subscribe, then something magic will happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying what, because you know, I don't know, but I know, well, you'll get the episodes. That's magical.
We can protect you from ninja vampires.
That's right.
Ninja vampires. Yeah.
We have our paper ready.
We won't, because we're selfish, but we won't. So.
Okay. Thanks for joining us for season 10. The first episode.
Is that the whole season?
Do you believe in magic? Well, I don't believe in us anymore. I don't believe in our ability for brevity, that's for sure. So, crap. Okay, next episode, season 10 continues. Cast a Deadly Spell, of course. So let's wrap this sucker up so that we can go watch that movie. For Nick, for Jack, and for Jim, I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu, and thanks for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo!
Alles in Ordnung?
Ja.
Ihr verschwindet am besten.
Und unser Geld bekommen wir wie abgemacht.
Hm.
Halt!
Rühr dich und er ist tot. Schnapp ihn. Ja.